Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Beloved in the Lord, we look this morning on this Easter morning at the great passage that tells us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think back with me to what took place as these women came to the tomb. Remember, they were coming to the tomb for what purpose? They were going to anoint the body of Christ. That was their purpose in going to the tomb. And as they were traveling along, they were probably preoccupied with matters in their own minds, I would think. Maybe some fear as well. Maybe they were thinking, "Well, we have to get into the tomb. How will we get into the tomb?" Because they knew, as Scripture tells us, that there was a rock that had been placed in front of it. I would imagine maybe their conversation would be, "Who's going to move the rock? You or me or both of us?" The fact that Jesus was in this tomb was a part of what happened by order of the Roman government, and so this was something under the seal and the authority of the law that was over Israel at the time, and it was guarded by representatives of his power. I don't know, maybe they thought, "Will we have to tell the guards what we want to do? Do you think that they'll let us in?" Have you ever asked any questions about what was going on in their minds? Maybe those are some questions that they asked, but we don't know a lot of the answers to those questions. But what we do know is that when they got to the tomb, it wasn't what they expected. There was a surprise for them, and that surprise came in the form of the fact that God sent an angel, and the angel came, and as I was reading the passage just now, I read it again, and I kind of get a little bit of a chuckle. It says, "The angel of the Lord descended and came, rolled back the stone, and he sat on it." He sat on it. There he is, the angel, sitting on a rock, waiting for what? Well, he's waiting for these women who are coming, because he was God's appointed representative to speak to them. And he's going to give them several words. We're going to look particularly at those words, but he's going to tell these women a message. And that message is beginning with the words Jesus, or the angel says, beginning with these words, "He is not here." Well, there had been a violent earthquake. The guards were quaking and shaking, and they were laying there possibly motionless as if they were dead. We don't know, but all we do know is that when the women got to the tomb, the angel said to them, "He is not here. He has been raised." It means that Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God. And it should have reminded the women when they heard that he is raised, that his words were true. He had spoken that many times. They had heard from him that he would die, but that he would be raised again. But they were given this terrible sight of the angel, and the angel simply tells them he is not here. But then notice what else the angel says: do not be afraid. I would imagine seeing an angel, appearance like lightning, clothing as white as snow, would have caused me, if I was one of these individuals, to shake in my boots. But the angel says, don't be afraid. What a great message to begin with. But not only does the angel say, he is not here, he is risen, don't be afraid, the angel says, come and see where he lay. He's not here, but come and see where he had lain. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And we ought to weigh those words. We ought to weigh those important words. Come, go, and tell the disciples. That's the message that the angel gave to the women. He is alive. He is really alive. In fact, he is alive today. To these women, he is saying, he is alive today. He is able to help you. And he is alive today for each and every one of us. If you want to pray to him, you are praying to a risen Savior, the one who was able to help those when he was here on earth. He would help the poor blind man, and he would give him sight. He would heal the leper. He would bless those who were in his midst. And now the one who helped the leper, who healed the paralytic, the one who says to the seeker, you will find peace with him. He is the risen, living, reigning one who can bless his people. That's why the angel says, come, see, go, and tell. Those are four commands, four words of command. We need to come to the tomb. That's what he was inviting the women to do. They needed to see the empty tomb, that Jesus was indeed not there, to see where he had been laid. And then they need to go and tell the disciples. Tell them what? Tell them that he is not dead. He has been raised from the dead. And the one who is raised from the dead is the one who now lives and rules over all things. Come to this tomb. Come to see where the graveyard, where the edict of Rome had been fulfilled. But the soldiers who were surrounding the grave, who were in fear of the angels, they were there as well. But come and see this place where Jesus had been laid, but he is not there. He is not there at all. He is risen from the dead. Now, there's a great deal of things that would frustrate your coming into this tomb. I would think that they might have been somewhat fearful on that road to the tomb. We talked about that a moment ago. I would have thought that when they saw the angel, they might have been quaking in their boots. As I said, I would have been quaking in my boots had I been able to see an angel of God. But they also had to deal with other things. Not only did they have to deal with the fact that Jesus had died, but they had to come to the tomb. And when they came to the tomb, they came with one great problem. They came with their own sin, their own unbelief. They believed he died, but they did not yet believe that he had been raised from the dead. Did the women expect a literal resurrection? I think not. they didn't really believe in a literal resurrection until the angel declared, "He is risen," and they are invited to come into that tomb to see that Christ had indeed been raised from the dead. And the angels had rolled away the stone. Have you ever asked, why did the angel have to roll away the stone? I think there's only really one reason. The angel rolled away the stone so that the women and later the disciples that came could come and see what? See the empty tomb. To see that Christ had indeed been raised from the dead. That the Lord Jesus, who died, is risen. And the one who died and is risen is now the one who extends that invitation to all to come to him, to trust him. He gives us those words in the gospel. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Have you ever heard that verse? You've heard it many times. I will come and you will come and I will give you rest. Come and take my yoke upon you. A yoke is something that enables the animal to pull and to carry out its task. But he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and gentle in heart, and you will find what? You will find rest for your souls. Jesus has invited you to come to find rest for your souls. And if you have come to Jesus, trusted in him to find rest for your souls, you will grow in your Christian faith and you will grow in your life with Christ because you know the rest that he alone is able to give. The invitation to the women is to come and see this empty tomb, which is a declaration that Jesus is raised from the dead. He has conquered death, and he is the one who gives rest to all who come to him. Come and see. The word see means they have to look, they have to examine it. See the place where the Lord had lain. The angel announced a risen Savior. We need to see the grave empty in order to understand the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ, equal with God in power and glory, the eternal Son of God. He laid aside the glory to take upon himself the form of a human in order that he might go to the cross to die and to save us. And the grave shows us the love and the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a great way, it demonstrates the great power of God. And the grave also shows us the horror of our sin, because it was our sin that placed him on the cross and ultimately in the grave. He died in our place for our sin. I think of Isaiah 53 and that wonderful passage in Isaiah where it says, "He took our transgressions. They were laid upon him. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." You see, the grave tells me that my sin placed him there. He went to the grave for me. He died upon the cross for me. When we see the grave, we are not only reminded of Christ's going to the cross and dying for us, but when we see the grave, we will also see where we also will lie. We will lay our loved ones in a grave when they die. They will leave all of their possessions behind. You will die. We will all die unless Jesus comes beforehand. We will see our mortality, and we are taught by this passage that there is something beyond the grave. There is something beyond the grave for which we must prepare. And that is, of course, we must rest in Jesus. But what's most important is that we see the grave where Jesus was but he no longer is. He is not there. Other passages are written in the Gospels about the linen cloths or clothes that he had been wrapped with. What did they find when they came to the grave? They didn't find Jesus, but they found some of his clothing, the linen clothes that had been wrapped around his body, silent witnesses to the testimony of the resurrection. He is risen. He has conquered death. The great evidence for the resurrection is that the tomb was empty. He lives. He conquered death. His body is no more in the grave. No disciple came secretly to steal the body. That's what they would have liked to have told so that the story of the resurrection would be disproved. They would like others to believe that maybe someone robbed the grave, stole the body. Angels rolled away the stone from the mouth of the tomb. Why? So that the witnesses would be the ones to see this. Jesus has been raised from the dead. And because he is raised from the dead, we shall be raised from the dead as well, if we are united to Jesus. He promises that in Scripture, that he will raise us and we will live with him forever. Those who have gone to be with the Lord are those who are absent from the body, but they will be present with the Lord. And that's the hope of every believer in Jesus Christ, that the grave is not going to conquer us. Jesus conquered the grave and death and sin. And so we can look at this empty tomb, come and see where the Lord had been laid. And then the angel says, you got a little work to do. Go. It's a command. It's a command that says you have a task to perform. And that task is the task of missions. Telling others that the good news is to be given, that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Maybe they wanted to stay there for a little while. You know, we just came home from a funeral, and at many funerals, there's an opportunity. People want to linger for a while. They want to linger with the casket. Some want to linger at the graveside when the casket is lowered into the grave. Then there are those who will go back to a grave sometime after a loved one has been taken and buried, and they will go to the graveside. Maybe they'll bring flowers and so on and so forth. We don't see that in this passage. We see the message of the angels to go and tell them that Jesus has risen from the dead. That's the message that must go forth. The resurrection needs to be celebrated. That's what every Sunday is. It is Resurrection Day for everyone who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Sunday after Sunday, our emphasis should be what? The triumph of Jesus over the grave. Not bringing flowers to the grave, not lingering at the grave, but rejoicing and praising God that the resurrection is the triumph of God over sin. The fulfilling of God's promises to Christ, raising him from the dead. The fulfillment of the promise of God of bringing salvation to those who come to know and to trust in Jesus Christ. Because the resurrection is victory over sin and damnation. The resurrection is the seal upon the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross that declares, my sins are atoned for, and there is justice now with God, because on that cross Jesus cried out, it is finished. Finished is the sacrifice of perfect obedience for our sins. Finished is the blotting out of our sins and the obtaining of eternal righteousness with God for all who believe in Jesus. That's the message that the angel told the women to give, the message that Jesus is raised from the dead. And the angel says, tell that message. Go and tell the message. Tell them that Jesus is risen. Tell them what he told you. Tell them he is risen from the dead. That's the greatest news that we could give. The greatest news that the world needs to hear, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, that's the message that we must give the world as well. We must give the message to those who have not heard of Jesus, and we must declare he is risen from the dead. He is Lord. Jesus Christ is indeed the great Lord and Savior, risen from the dead. And I would like to say to each one of us here who know Jesus and love Jesus, that this Savior who is risen from the dead is the Savior that we must declare as well. He is calling us, not just the women, he is calling us to go and tell about Jesus. Give this message to the world, and this is the essence of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose on the third day. According to the scriptures, it's all what God had said. He died as the substitute for criminals, those who hated God. He died for us who were enemies of God, but he pardons us as sinners. He died that we might not die. He lives that we might live. And we must diligently invite others to come to know Jesus and tell them that there is life for the dead who look at Jesus, who is crucified and died and was raised from the dead. Tell others that they may know that there is a risen Savior who is glorified, and a risen Savior who rules and reigns over all. To him be God's glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, how thankful we are that we have this message of a risen Savior, a glorious Lord who is the conqueror of sin and death, the one who is now ruling and reigning over us and over all things. Oh, how we thank you for this glorious truth. May we, like the women, be faithful to hear the message of going and telling others about him, so that his name would go forward, his name might be declared, his gospel might bring many to know Jesus Christ is Lord. And to that end, we ask that you will do it by your sovereign power and for the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 220, the hymn He Lives. We'll stand and sing as we respond to God's word and prepare for the Lord's Supper. We will sing all of the stanzas of number 220, and if able, I invite you to stand. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I feel his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. With me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.